Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio. Broadcasting not from W.L. Fraley Studios tonight. Oh, no, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming from a very special place. We are coming live from the luxury suite all the way in Nevada right now. That is right. I am with none other than wrestling personified Rick Luxury, joined some spare time. But tonight, we have a show recap show. And basically, you know, that's like the show that recaps the show we had. In order to go through the entire show, though, we needed a solid hour to do this. Our inaugural brawl, as it was called, went off this last weekend in San Luis Obispo. And if you haven't heard, you haven't seen, we are live from the 805. And we are not going anywhere. But before this goes any further, I got to bring on two guys, you know, that quite frankly, the show could not be the show without these two guys. Sledge, are you with me, brother?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, not much. Dom, are you there too?
I'm here.
Awesome. These two guys, you know, when a plan comes together, if you've ever seen the movie Reservoir Dogs, that's a great example of when a plan doesn't come together. Not quite the case over the weekend, what we had at the grad. Guys, what was your feeling going into waking up Sunday morning? Sledge, what was on your mind, bro?
Going into Sunday morning?
Sunday morning.
I'm super tired. I've been on the road for 2 days.
You just fought a three-way with Dom and Dom Vitale and Gabriel Gallo just the night before in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, in Los Angeles, and then I wrestled in San Jose the night before. So I went coast to coast and then to the coast. My thinking was, we're going to pull this off, and I know we're going to pull this off, and it's going to be a great show, but there's still a lot of work to be done, and just hopefully everything falls into place.
And Don, how about you? What was waking up like for you?
Okay, so have you ever watched a video of a nuclear explosion and then watched it backwards?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like reverse implosion kind of deal.
Yeah, I woke up in the morning and went, oh my God, this is going to happen. And then spent the next hour and a half or so just pulling everything together and, you know, going out and taking care of what needed to be done, to the point that by the time call time happened and the people started showing up, I was actually coasting pretty easy. You know, we prepared for everything weeks in advance. We made sure that everything was how it needed to be. We did our tech run a week before, and it was really just a matter of getting there, getting things put together how they needed to be, and then letting the ball roll, and thing moved like a well-oiled machine.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing what can happen through word of mouth just spreading out, because, quite frankly, we didn't have a product to present prior to selling any tickets. We had nothing but our good names. We had nothing but our history to back us. We had nothing but our involvement at other shows like UEW. But past that, I mean, it's really kind of hard to get a pre-order generated for a product you don't even have yet. And somehow we were able to garner enough faith from enough people to quite frankly, pack the house at the grad. I don't think I've ever seen that many people there that wasn't country night.
Yep. The newspaper reported over 250. And by my math, we drew 254.
That is incredible. That is absolutely incredible for a product that didn't even exist yet. And, you know, I mean, I have talked to several people. I made an actual effort after the show to kind of reach out to people, just get their basic opinions. Like, tell me honestly, like, really, and hammer us if this sucked. So far, I have not gotten any hammers thrown at me. Not a single person has said that they left that show unsatisfied. Not one has said that. And, in fact, go ahead.
Literally everywhere that I've been in San Luis Obispo in the last 2 days, everywhere that I've gone, I've run into someone who's heard about the show. At the bank, I heard someone who heard about the show. I ran into a guy at a sporting goods store who heard about the show. People at Cuesta College heard about the show or went to the show. You know, just walking into Sledge's house here, I got stopped by a guy on the sidewalk who said, hey, the show was awesome, and I'm bringing all my friends next time.
Yeah, it's the response has been great, and you know this better than anything, Jimmy. You know, San Luis Obispo is such a small community. You know,
absolutely.
And word gets around pretty fast. And what we did was we made an impact in San Luis Obispo. We gave family entertainment to do on Sunday, let's say after church, or and you still have enough time to get home and have dinner, or put their kids to bed for school on Monday.
Yep.
And it gave we gave family entertainment to the Central Coast, and I believe that the Central Coast needed, and the Central Coast hasn't had in a very long time. That's great. You could take a kid to a concert, but I mean, where is something that you can really bring that they're actually super involved in? I mean, right there, front row with the action, and you can see everything from a couple seats away.
I got a message on Facebook immediately after the show, probably about 90 minutes after the show, from a guy who brought his kids who weren't previous wrestling fans, had never seen wrestling before. He went because he was a wrestling fan, and he said that his kids are normally extremely hyper and all over the place. He had never seen them riveted to one thing for that amount of time ever.
I really believe that we have a great...
There wasn't a single fan that didn't have that look on their face of, I mean, standing in the center of the ring, match after match, looking at the faces of those, I mean, it seemed like everybody in the audience had that feeling, like they some sense of whatever had taken over, and they were just kind of drawn in, for lack of a better description.
And honestly, we owe it to our locker room. Honestly, that's what it is, man.
For sure.
We owe it to our locker room. The locker room vibe was just so up, and like everybody wanted to see Sin Cal succeed on their first show. And I believe everybody in that locker room, from Rick Luxury, who decided to screw me in my match, to you know, to the girls, Sage Sin and Kikyo, you know, to Don Vitality, you know, and Gabriel Gallows, to Max Ammo and Mayhem, to Kane Anthony and Jacob Diaz for kicking off the show. The way they kicked off the show, I mean, come on. What better way to kick off a show than that?
Yeah, that was probably one of the best nights of both of their careers, and I think both of them will tell you that.
You know, and it was one of those things where it's just, you know, the guys wanted to see everything succeed, and they went and they put their heart and soul on the line, and they put their bodies on the line for those people's entertainment. And honestly, I can't thank them enough for doing that. And honestly, I cannot wait for May 24th back at the Graduate, because it's just going
to
be bigger.
Yeah, just to get in there, you know, I've been doing this for 2 years now, and I've been to a lot of shows, and Sledge has been doing it longer than me, and he's been to even more shows. And I'll tell you right now, like, the energy of that locker room was like nothing else I've ever experienced before. I walked out of there feeling like the same way that I did when I was 8 years old and mm-hmm. I got my first Nintendo for Christmas. And I was just so energized and so happy. And that's carried over for, you know, into today. You know, it's just been such a positive experience for all of us, and I can't wait to do it again.
That's the thing that people keep asking about. When are you doing it again? And it's so awesome to be able to tell people there's already a date, May 24th. This is the day that Sin Cal lands again.
Yes.
Sin Cal Dos? I mean, Sin Cal Second? I mean, I don't really think that we should put a name on it, but I mean, we have a lot of good things in the works here, and the DVD for the first show is going to be available. There will be merchandise available for sale.
We're working on a lot of new things to take this thing to the next level.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, which, Jimmy Ray, you know about.
Absolutely.
And it's all coming together very the ball has been rolling very, very fast. It started in a little ball of yarn, and, man, it's a huge ball of yarn now.
Yeah.
And we really, honestly, we can't thank the fans enough for coming out and supporting a imitation company,
yeah,
as we've been called.
Yeah, that's I've noticed that. We've already have been somewhat the subject to scrutiny already. It would seem that you know, there's always folks with their own opinions, and diverse opinions are always well, you know, they're always well respected. I don't know if they're ever well taken, but yeah.
But hey, at least they're talking about us.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
There's a difference between forgetting where you came from and knowing where you came from and overcoming where you came from.
That's right.
you know, it's like I tell everybody, you know, we all came from somewhere, and if all we did was hold on to our past, we would really be neglecting a lot of things going on now and almost completely foregoing our futures. So that kind of being the case, it's not really, you know, a matter of, remembering where you came from. It's kind of keeping sight of where you're going and to make sure that direction is up.
I have a personal philosophy in life, and I try to apply it to how I do business also, and that's always move forward, you know. And if someone wants to stay along for that ride, then they're going to have to cultivate that respect. You know, if you shake my hand one day and then punch me in the face the next, I'm not going to forget the fact that you punched me in the face just because you shook my hand before.
Right. Although technically in pro wrestling that happens almost every match. But that's, you know, kind of, you know, neither here nor there, really, right?
Right.
I see everybody get punched in the face, but I see what you're saying, you know, the proverbial punch to the face, more or less, you know, the slap to the face, really. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, did you do it or not do it? It's a matter of, you know, did you try to? What was your motive, your modus operandi, so to speak? You know, what, you know, possessed you to want to do that? And really, again, it's a matter of just kind of keeping the facts straight. As long as the facts remain straight, I think everybody who has an opinion will maintain one. And, you know, really, you know, there's been nothing but a great fallout from this show. And it's you know, from the people that saw it, I actually have local businesses come check it out that are hopefully going to be potential sponsors for us, which is really cool. That's right. All you, you know, the feelers out there, you know who you are, and I know you're listening, and I appreciate it. But it seems to be a very warm reception. I mean, I was even telling people today about the show.
If you looked around our ring, we had two sets of screens. We had the smaller screens and the bigger screens. The big screen showed the action. The smaller screens constantly cycled our sponsors. You know, we've already had local businesses help us out with ticket sales. You know, most of all, we had the law office. We had the law office of Dennis Balsamo, you know, who happens to be also my dad. But he was invaluable in making this show happen. You know, he came in when we needed someone to pick up our financial slack, and you know, we worked our asses off to make sure that we didn't let him down. But you know, that's the kind of guy that he is. When he believes in something and he believes he can make it work, you know, he handles it that way. In the courtroom, when he represents people, he represents his clients like a pit bull. And he helped us make this happen like a pit bull too. You know, and then he brought in Jose Garza, who is a personal friend of his, who did all of our photography work. And, you know, he came in and really just hooked it up, you know, made us look good on film, so that when we put those pictures up, probably starting tomorrow, we're going to really have something else to show for it. And all the people who came in to help, Jose's wife and his wife's daughter, Deb and Megan, they came in and really rocked it for us and came through in a pinch, you know, and we can't thank them enough too. They saved our butts at the door when we needed extra hands, because we did this raffle thing where we raffled off a couple signed posters and then two tickets to the next show. And we thought, oh, you know, maybe someone will be a little bit interested in that. People just mobbed on it. So I think we're going to do that every show.
You know, same with Kent and Matt, who came and helped spun sound, you know, they really came through in a pinch because, you know, Mike, you know, his father-in-law passed, and we're very sad to hear that happen.
Yeah.
And hopefully we wish the best to his family. We really do. Here on
That's
the
right. Our thoughts and best wishes are with you, Mikey Schreiner. You know we love you.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, Ken comes through in a pinch. You know, like within 24 hours, I didn't even call him. I think we were like 12 hours before the show. I'm on the road to L.A., and I'm like, hey, we need I need some help. And he was without dropping the arm there, brother.
Boom.
You know.
There in all of his glorious bearded glory.
Yeah. It's not as long as it used to
be. He has a magnificent beard. That is to be sure.
Yeah. And, you know, did the help, you know, Sparky's crew, you know. Sparky himself, you know, the crew that Sparky brought, you know, that. You know, we were hours before the show and came in and just knocked out the setup within, you know, seriously, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah,
I was amazed.
I had to run to Staples to do an emergency pickup, and from the time that it took me to get from the graduate to Staples and back, they were done.
Yeah, and that was amazing, you know, to the graduate themselves, you know, for having us.
Yeah, Chase running security and Rich. doing all the tech stuff and making time for us to come in early so we can test it out. And Brittany was the manager's name there, right?
Yeah, Brittany.
Yeah, Brittany. Brittany was more than helpful, helping us out with feeding all of our guys to make sure that no one went home hungry.
And that's a crazy thing. I want to reiterate that. That's a crazy thing. That everybody, like, seriously, we're in a booking meeting, and you guys can all back me up on this. When I said that people were getting paid and they were getting food, they all almost fainted.
16-year veterans in the business almost fainted.
And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know?
It's usually just a hot dog and best wishes, and best wishes do not pay the electricity bill.
No.
We give them a hamburger, a turkey burger, or a chef's salad.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, man, and I believe that because they're literally, you know, putting their lives on the line out there, man, and they need to be paid, you know, decently and, you know, respected for their work. And it didn't, you know, and this goes for, you know, I don't want to say for every wrestling promoter because I don't want to go out there and say that, man. But it doesn't take that much to pay the boys. It really doesn't.
Yeah, especially if
you're
focusing on paying the boys and not, you know, bringing in someone else that already has established themselves.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at a budget from the next show. I have it, like, right here in my hand. And, I mean, I to pay the boys, it's not, you know.
24 wrestlers, all paid.
All paid. Not one person walked out of there not getting paid. And there wasn't one wrestler on my roster that didn't get paid well and did not get fed. Even Sparky's crew got fed. Even the dark match that, honestly, we weren't planning to have, but I'm really glad we did.
Yeah, those guys got paid.
Got paid. Got something to eat, you know. It was amazing show from top to bottom, and I really can't thank everybody enough for making it, you know.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about the matches, guys? I got the list of them right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's definitely go down the matches here. I mean,
let's do the run-down of that. And since you're over at the luxury suite.
I am in the luxury suite. You know, I have a feeling that, you know, we may just have a guest a little bit later.
Yeah, I have a few words for that guest.
Actually, while we're on the subject, why don't we talk about why Sledge might have words for that guest. So when the show opened, Sledge went out to, say hi to everyone, thank you for coming out, you know, establish why we're here, what we're here to do, what kind of company we are. And Sasha Derevko and Shoop Shellhammer came out. Well, Sasha came out first and, kind of backhanded complimented Sledge a little, and then those comments became a little bit more backhanded and more backhanded until Shoop ran out and, kind of helped backhand Sledge.
It took a while for anybody to really respond. I think everyone kind of thought, well, Sledge probably can, you know, handle himself. And then, you know, they kind of just went back to what they're doing. You look back and like, oh, wow, Sledge is on the ground. Maybe we should do something.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, you know, the bottoms of Camp Crystal Lake open. And I didn't see that one coming. JD Horror came out. Last time I saw JD Horror and Sledge in the same ring together, they were beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, you know, who knew that the partnership still lived, right?
I was genuinely surprised.
Once you've established that relationship with someone, it's kind of hard to let it go sometimes. And JD came out swinging that barbed wire bat and ran him off real quick. And it was really good to see him, you know, all painted up and ready to kick some ass.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's be fair though. If JD Horror is swinging a barbed wire bat at you and he misses, and you have 15 seconds to get out of wherever you are if you want to cling on to this quote-unquote life of yours. JD Horror smashes things for fun. I don't even want to know what he does when he's angry.
Sledge just said he smashes amiibos.
He smashes amiibos, yeah. Yeah, Sledge has this kind of obsession with amiibos, ladies and gentlemen. He can't seem to stop talking about them, but it's fun.
So,
we all like amiibos.
So they get run off. You know, Sledge gets back on the mic and he says, "Sasha, it's gonna be you and me." And he tells Shoop he's got a little bit of a surprise for him. And we'll go into what that surprise was a little bit later, because after that we transition to the first official match of the night, which was Jacob the Riot Diaz with his new manager John Allen versus the Midnight Gun, Caden Anthony, making his return to the Central Coast.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
Yeah,
Eddie Bain in tow with him.
Yeah, we had Keenan Anthony returning to the Central Coast. I mean, that was, I think that that was a hell of an opener because, I mean, that was, the audience should have never lost Caden. They never wanted to lose Caden. And to have Caden come back, the Midnight Gun himself, Keenan Anthony, coming back, and of all places, SoCal Pro, baby.
Yeah, those guys were on fire. I mean, the crowd really started to pick up at that point. I don't know who, because I was too far backstage when it happened, but one of them dove off one of the podiums, and the sound that the audience made just before the splat sound of bodies hitting the floor was fantastic.
The uproar, I guess, as they call that.
Yeah, and I couldn't think of a better opener for any show than them. It was top to bottom, just a great match.
Jacob Diaz is an amazing talent, and I mean, just to have the likes of him come and wrestle. I mean, Jacob Diaz, you know, say what you want about Jacob Diaz, you know, when he last time I saw Jacob Diaz, I saw he was trying to help out his friend Mikey O'Shea over at UEW, and you know, he waited out and camped out a whole match, only to turn on his friend Mikey O'Shea and leave him kind of helpless there in the ring. You know, he wasn't exactly, you know, the biggest fan favorite, quote-unquote, was the audience. But boy, oh boy, did the audience just love and eat up the riot Jacob Diaz and San Luis Obispo. I don't think there was a bad guy, if you will, in that match. I truly believe the audience loved both of them equally for what they did.
It was definitely Jacob Diaz, I want to say, Jacob Diaz and Caden Anthony, I want to say them both, are very, very underrated as wrestlers because they are.
Oh, sure.
From the top, from just some of the stuff they do, I'm just like, I can't do that.
Fast, agile, deceptively strong for their size.
Yeah, and very underrated. And I'm so happy to have both of them, you know, part of our roster and, you know, loyal guys to SoCal. And, the future for Jacob Diaz and Caden Anthony in our company is skyrocketing, you know, absolutely.
I see gold.
Yeah.
In
expect
one
to see them back.
Probably gold. Yeah, Diaz did end up winning that match, but it was by the skin of his teeth. I mean, that whole thing was back and forth.
Yeah, there was a moment, there's several moments, I got to say, during that match where I honestly thought it was over, and then sure enough, a kick out. And it was just, what is possessing either one of them? You know, come on, guys, give it up. There's no need to take any more punches, man. Too many kicks to the stomach, man. That'll make you lose your burritos. And, you know, just all things considered, it's just one of those, you know, I don't know. It's a moment of magic, I guess you really have to call it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So from there, we had the Keepers of the Faith, Gabriel Gallo and Don Vitale. They came out from FUUP USA. Is that where they're from these days?
Well, yeah. We'll say FUUP USA, but they're from Arizona. We had guys drive all the way from Arizona to be part of this, and that was hats off to Don Vitale and Gabriel Gallo for doing that.
Yeah, and they took on Urban Discipline, who is Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem, and this guy that I've heard of called Discord manages them.
Screw that guy.
Yeah, I heard he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
He's bad for hats.
He's really, really bad for hats.
Yeah, you should really bill that guy for that or something, man. Like he should suffer some consequences.
It's hard to bill a guy who doesn't have an address because when his address is cyberspace, that's not even a building. Yeah, yeah.
Well, trust me, I've already tried.
So that match was another one. You know, Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem, I got to say, they're a younger team, especially compared to Dom and Gabriel, who are veterans in this business. But they really pulled it out, and both teams went toe-to-toe, and it was a real, you know, they're just power guys. You know, Dom is speedy, and Max is kind of speedy. But really, on the whole, there were three out of four guys in there that were just beat-down monsters who rely on strength and brute force to wreak havoc.
Well, yeah, the Keepers of the Faith, the Freak Squad, just the natural disasters, if you will, and that's not, you know, I'm sure there was a wrestling tag team that was natural disasters, but quite frankly, Gabriel Gallo and Don Vitale are natural forces of nature that are unnatural, it seems, because they smash everything in front of them, like the Hulk, you know?
And Don Vitale can take a phenomenal amount of abuse. I've seen it. I saw Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem do it to him. I mean, they had him in the corner and were choking him and punching him and squashing him and, you know, throwing him all around, and he just kept coming back. He was like Sir Didymus, that little dog in that movie Labyrinth, where every time you knock him down, he just pops up somewhere else. And at the end of that match, Gabriel Gallo ended up coming in and cleaning house, and Keepers of the Faith took home the win. But Urban Discipline wasn't having any of that. They came back and broke up the celebration, if you will, with nightsticks in their hand and started laying the beat down on Dom and Gabriel at that point. Really, really laid into him. I think they took advantage of Gallo's previous knee injury as well, and just kind of took his legs out from underneath him. It's the only way you can get that guy down. And that happened until, unexpectedly, the Perfect Kings, Lee Perfetto and J.J. King, ran back in swinging chairs and ran Urban Discipline off.
Yeah, running Urban Discipline off is not a good thing.
Yeah, that's something I find interesting, though, because Perfetto and King aren't necessarily what you might call, handshaking baby kissers. They're not really those kinds of guys. So there must be some kind of underlying thing going on that would cause them to run in and break that up, because I really don't see them as the save-the-day types in general.
No, I mean, like, those guys, I knew they were going to be coming to the show. I thought they were just coming to the show just to support us. I didn't know that they would, run into the ring and do something like that, too. I mean, that just goes to show, I mean, they came to make a mark, and I got to admit, they made a believer out of me. I really like these Perfect Kings guys, and they're exactly what the tag team division needs, and especially in San Luis Obispo for our Central Coast. You know, we need a tag team, to give, fans something to believe in.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think that maybe – oh, jeez. That just totally went over my head. Okay, damn it, Jimmy. I kind of have a feeling that was ultimately what that was about, was making a statement, because the guys in Urban Discipline said that they wanted to prove that even in defeat they could remain dominant. And if that's the case, and if Urban Discipline want to be the big swinging members in the tag team division of this company, then, win or lose, maybe they're the guys to make a statement against. I mean, we all see what happens when people try to make statements against Dom and Gallo. You start at one level and work your way up to the next.
Yeah, there's easier examples in life to make. There's bronze trophies that look just as good as platinum. I mean, they're the same trophy. It's not the same medal. I mean, why do you have to go after the platinum trophy right away? I mean, that's barking, kind of up a tall order, right?
I could see the logic behind that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's I would say maybe go after I don't know, like start on something small, don't choke on something too big, because I would never. I'm pretty sure that Gallo and Vitaly are the stuff that the monster under your bed has nightmares about. And once the monster under my bed knew that they were coming to town, he kind of he was like, all right, fuck it, I'm done. Kind of like that meme, just threw his papers in the air and was over it. Yeah.
He's not going to be out there messing with your feet that night.
No one's tickling Ray's feet at the end of the bed at 3 in the morning, that's for sure.
Yeah. After that match, we had what many in the audience, I think, regarded as match of the night, and that was the Pumpkin Queen Sage Zen against the Fallen Flower Kikyo.
Oh, absolutely. That match was literally the talk of the town. Everybody who saw the show and heard about the show, they said, yeah, the show is great. The women's match was amazing. I've never heard such rave review over the women's division before. I mean, it's refreshing to hear that.
Because we don't call them divas or
vixens
or
knockouts
or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
These women come to wrestle, and they come to put on a show. And damn it, I got to get a hat off to Kikyo and Sage for doing that, because they made a stamp in women's wrestling.
They're
that
athletes.
Night.
They're wrestlers.
They're athletes. They're wrestlers. They can hang with the best.
My buddy who came to the show, his 9-year-old daughter bought a picture of Sage then. He said that she didn't stop looking at that picture of Sage for the entire car ride home. And when he put her to bed that night, she told him that she wants to be a Pumpkin Queen when she grows up.
I'm no longer my daughter's favorite wrestler. Sage Sin is my daughter's favorite wrestler now.
Sage Sin is officially Sledge's daughter's favorite wrestler. I think Sage Sin is taking all the wrestlers' daughters by storm.
I gotta say that's better than Sheamus.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's like they if there were any stops, if there was like a row of stops, they were all pulled out sequentially because every single stop was pulled in that women's match. It shouldn't even be called a women's match, quite frankly, because there's no reason to denote that it was a women's match. It was a freaking wrestling match, and a hell of one at that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And to see, I've been following Kikyo's career just as much as I've been following Sage Sin, and just to see her rapid improvement over the last couple of years has been amazing. I mean, that when she powerbombed Sage on that that platform thing, that was brutal.
No, yeah, I thought she killed her.
Yep, and somehow, even after that, Sage managed to pull out the win, which is just a testament to her resiliency because she was basically up against a brick wall there.
Yeah, a brick wall is a very kind way of describing it because, you know, it almost doesn't really denote how much pain really you felt when smacking into said brick wall. Think about that power bomb she took was just, you know, unhuman. And I hope it's not one of those things that people go, oh, God, you know, oh, look, wrestling is so bad to women. Look what he did. Not a single person who saw that match said, oh, well, they were too rough to each other. No, I mean, it's like they kind of all said unanimously, that kind of proves that, you know, women's wrestling is the same as, well, wrestling. It is just wrestling.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And they raised the bar.
Absolutely.
And I have a feeling that for every other female competitor out there that wrestles, you know, I guess it's safe to say to call it a women's division because the women do tend to wrestle each other, and if at some point they even have a championship. So it is technically its own division. But past that, I mean, like, I think raising the bar for the women's division is Kikyo Nakamura, I think just Kikyo now, and Sage Sin have, that's going to really open the doorway for some impressive ladies' matches coming up because now the bar has been raised. You know, Sin Cal has shown them that this is the caliber of wrestling matches for both men and women. This is what you can do here. This is what's able to be done here. And it's not like that can't be done anywhere else. It's just
it can't
be done anywhere else on the Central Coast.
It's funny because when we were out flyering and selling tickets and, you know, doing public relations stuff, we would get a lot of guys asking us, so you're going to have girls at the show? You're going to have girls at the show? You know, and we told them, yeah, we're going to have women on the card. You know, and they come out expecting a skin show, you know, girls shaking their butts and showing off their goods. And I think that night with that very match, Sage and Kikyo both proved that women in wrestling are more than just a glorified peep show.
Oh, yeah. The only butt shaking I saw going on with Kikyo is she slammed it down on top of that poor little pumpkin queen. And that was, I believe, the photo that made it into the paper, was it not?
Yeah, yeah. And with all due respect to Kikyo, that's a lot of butt to crash on someone.
Well, nice! Yeah, it's kind of, I guess I'd have to say, you know, equal parts jealousy, equal parts just, wow, that must have been painful, you know, kind of all at the same time. Yeah, that was an amazing feat of strength by Kikyo. And to you know, she was so close to pulling off the win.
Yep. And I think to see women come into the company and to really prove that they have a place here and that they have a place in this business, I think that sets a really, really positive example for the young girls in the audience, too, to see something like that and realize, you know, I don't have to do something different just because someone, some asshole out there regards this as a boys' game, you know, that they are
right.
That's what equality is about. Equality isn't about special treatment. Equality is about getting in there and doing it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it special treatment kind of negates the whole idea of equality. You know what I mean? It points out the fact that things are different. It points out the fact that, you know, accommodations are being made. And, you know, no accommodations are nothing but excuses, and we don't really need excuses when it comes to being in the ring. You know, if you have something to showcase, it doesn't matter where you showcase that. And I think, you know, one thing that really stuck out is Shoop Shellhammer, you know, before he got, I didn't realize he was going to go off and do some of the had I known he was going to do some of the nasty things that he did in the ring and turn against America like he did, I probably wouldn't have talked to him so candidly. But, you know, one of the things he did mention was it's amazing that, you know, he's getting to wrestle against, you know, guys that, like, he's only been able to see
you know, on the internet hear about, you know, guys that, like, he hasn't actually, you know, ever been able to be at the same show as for the small fact of distance, 500-700 miles between, talking about round trips and stuff. You know, it doesn't always work out for the NorCal guys to see the SoCal guys. In fact, that's why there are no NorCal guys and SoCal guys, because of the vast distance between this state. And it's and for some of them, their territories aren't enough. They got to go everywhere they can, and that is a sign of a true working professional, someone that will go to any stage that will take them. And it doesn't matter, you know, you can go Northern California, Southern California, go on to Hawaii if they'll take you. But to be able to have a place where NorCal and SoCal can compete against each other, a battleground of California, if you will, the Battle of California, as I like to call it, you know, Shellhammer really, he pointed out that's something really special, because it's not only special for the fans. He pointed out that it's special for the workers, for the wrestlers, for the people backstage who've always wanted to hang out and see each other but never get to. And that was an aspect that I never really considered.
You get to challenge yourself against people that you don't normally get to be challenged by. And really, that can only improve the business when you can learn. You know, go ahead.
That only improves the worker, man, honestly. And that only improves the guy's wrestling style. When you wrestle the same guy over and over and over and over again, yeah, it's great, you know.
When
but,
you're stuck in an 8-man tag match for a minute and a half.
You know, or whatever, you know, it is what it is. But when you're able to go and travel and work different people with different styles and different arsenals, and, you know, you put your arsenal against their arsenal, and, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and guys that are legitimately better than you, so you challenge yourself, I think is an amazing thing. And honestly, that's kind of what we're doing here at SoCal, is we're bringing the NorCal and the SoCal guys to meet in the middle and battle it out. And guys who've never worked with each other, able to, you know, see who's the better man, honestly, you know.
And for better reason than this is pro wrestling, and that's what you do.
Yep, we got a great example of that, actually, in our six-man. Now, I had mentioned, you know, six-man matches earlier, and, you know, sometimes there's this feeling in wrestling that a six-man match is a throwaway match. But I think that we, again, raised the bar at our show when we had Greg Hernandez, Daniel Torch, Sean Black, Ryan Kidd, Harry Henderson, and Sean Gunn in a six-way elimination match that, again, was another candidate for Match of the Night. That whole thing was on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely was. The audience fell to pieces when Harry Henderson was eliminated. I mean, they actually fell to pieces, and it was just, they were so behind Harry, and I just, he was a great surprise, I think, to the audience, because Harry kind of proved that, you know, when a lot of people say, I don't feel good today, you know, my back's killing me, or I got a headache, they proved that, like, if you really want something, you won't let any kind of adversity take away your dream or goal, and you can wrestle and do anything just as good as anyone else, and I think the audience was immediately behind him. And I anticipate great things for him.
Yeah. For those listening that don't quite know what Jimmy's talking about, Harry Henderson has one leg and still wrestles like a maniac.
And, you know, same with, you know, Greg Hernandez, man. Greg Hernandez has been in the business forever. You know, Greg Hernandez was one of the best that I looked up to when I first broke in. And for a guy that caliber to be on our show, you know, with, you know, used to tag with his partner in Dos Perfectos, former, you know, tag team champions of new named organization.
Previous pro wrestling.
You know, it was amazing to have him. And, you know, same with Sean Black. Nobody's seen Sean Black. God, what another wrestler who's so underrated, Sean Black.
The urban juggernaut, the man who lives up to his name.
I mean, I'm telling you, man, the first time I saw Sean Black, we were at a UEW show, and he came up to me and he goes, hey, man, you're Sledge, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, hey, man, I've heard a lot about you, man. I've seen your footage, man. You know, you're awesome. And I'm like, who are you? And I felt bad because I didn't know who he was. But I sat there, and that was the first show that I wasn't booked on, and I was just sitting there watching the matches, because I was studying on what was going on, and it was so amazing to watch him work. And I'm like, how do I not know who you are? Seriously, you are amazing. And after that, dude, I'll say I'm a little markish for him, you know, and And he was amazing. And when we were putting the card together, I said, we're getting Sean Black. I don't care. Sean Black is one of our top guys that we're going to get. And you know what? He didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
He did not disappoint.
Amazing. And the thing is, the dude is so nice and so humble backstage. Like, you would have no idea when you talk to this like, big teddy bear of a guy backstage that he's going to go out and he's going to destroy everything in his path the second that bell rings.
You know, same with D-Torch.
Torch.
You know, Torch. Torch is an amazing talent.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing, man. First time I met Torch, I think we were at SPW like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that guy's crazy as a shithouse rat, you know, but amazing.
Man, who is this scrawny little, you know, this kid who's rocking power and shit everywhere? You know, but you know what? He brought it on, and he brought it to, you know, to no end. And when we were talking about the card with all of us, I was all like, we've got to bring Torch.
Yep.
Torch has to happen. And we're happy Torch came, man. Same with Sean Gunn. You know, Sean Gunn.
That is a strong guy. You wouldn't know by looking at him, but he's like Clay Strong, almost.
Yeah, and Sean, you know, I've known Sean for a while, you know, and it was one of those things where, you know, it all fell into place. And
hey, as a side note, I drive a smart car, and at the end of the show, Sean Gunn and Clay Towser went outside and picked up my car and moved it for fun.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Just for
I
fun.
I came out in my car was turned around in its parking spot. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I hear Sean Gunn and his girlfriend laughing from their car.
Harry Henderson, obviously, you know, with his one leg, you know, was a last-minute alternate, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, a 12-hour before decision.
Yeah.
Who came through. Honestly, came through, man. And, you know,
I got to give a big – I've said this on Facebook, but I want to say it here too. I've got to give a big shout-out to Bobby Hart, because every single person that I've met that Bobby Hart has trained has been awesome. Christian Saint, Harry Henderson, Daniel Torch, all these guys. Like, I don't know if he picks them awesome or makes them awesome, but they have this fantastic work ethic, and they get it done in the ring. They don't complain. They're nice to everyone. They're just all really – good group of guys.
Yeah, hats off to Bobby, to PWB, you know, Pro Wrestling Bushido, for producing such good guys, you know, and allowing us to pick from his talent pool and use his guys.
Yeah.
Torch's
ride fell through, and Bobby came out with him.
Yeah,
you know?
Bobby showed up.
Yeah. He didn't even wrestle, just made sure that his guys got out to work.
You know, same with
it was awesome,
you know,
to see Bobby in the backstage.
Ryan Kidd. You know, once again, another kid that I really didn't know too much about. Sasha hit me up about him. Brandon did, and he hit me up and he says, hey, why don't we use Ryan Kidd? And I was all like, I don't know who he is. And he sent me footage on this kid, and he's wrestled like all around the world, like in Mexico. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And he tore the house down.
Yeah, you almost don't remember Ryan Kidd, because he moved so fast that he was hard to keep track of.
Yeah, and that was amazing, you know.
It's like a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, and, well, you know, and again, tore the house down. That whole six-way was amazing. I couldn't ask for a better match to another one for Sin Cal, you know.
Greg Hernandez ended up taking the match home that night, and yeah, he eliminated Daniel Torch last, and I know Daniel Torch was a little bit upset backstage. That match meant something to him. So I think we should see them in action again at some point. I want to see what they can do with each other.
I think I can make that happen.
Yeah. You know the guy? You know the guy that makes that happen?
I think I know the guy that knows the guy who does stuff for the guy.
Okay.
Make that happen.
Well, I'll make some phone calls if you can.
Oh, great. you know, I think...
Yeah,
and then... I got to get my hats off. I don't know if he's listening or not, but if he is, call in, because, you know, I told Shellhammer. I told you, Shellhammer. Uh-oh. Hold on.
What?
What was that?
I'm going to make an announcement at the end of the show when I get a chance to.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep listening. This is an announcement.
Yeah, this is an announcement. Anyway, you know, I told Shellhammer, that little SOB, for jumping me, I told him I had something special for him. You know what? We did, didn't we? We had the debut. I'm going to say it's the debut, honestly. I'm going to say it.
The rebirth, if anything.
If anything, the rebirth, the remake. What he should have been doing from the effing get-go.
Well, he's pounding the table. He's serious.
And that's destroying people in under minutes.
Under a minute and a half. It was a minute and 12 seconds, I believe.
And that
was insane. He destroyed him.
Debut, the rebirth of Clay.
Clay. Big Clay, if you're his friend.
Big Clay, you know, we stripped him of his of that other crap that he was doing, and we made him what he should have been from
the get-go.
Yeah.
Day one.
Damn it,
inception.
I'm getting mad over here.
Fledge is flustered over here, turning colors.
I'm about to flip the damn table.
You know? Yeah, Clay Towser is a 8-time world record holding power lifter. You know, he's not the most technical wrestler in the ring, but he doesn't need to be because he is an ass-beating machine.
He's 6'5". He's 365 effing pounds. And you know what? If you're getting rolled up by a 150-pound man, what the hell?
You know, so Clay came out with no fanfare, no music,
nothing.
All business.
And he made a damn statement.
Walked out to that ring. And Shoop Shellhammer is no jobber. Shoop Shellhammer is no slouch in the ring. Shoop Shellhammer can wrestle. And Clay just ate him. What was it, like 5 moves?
I think he hit him with like 2 moves and he was done.
That was like a clothesline, a gorilla slam, and a spine buster. But normally when you throw a spine buster, you send the guy off the ropes to get some momentum so you can get him up and slam him back down. Clay picked up Shoop from the ground. And Shoop's a more slight guy, but he's got dense muscle. He's not light. He picked up Shoop from the ground, lifted him over his head, and spine bustered him to the mat.
I mean, and then if this is the main statement, I don't know what does. Puts his foot on Shellhammer, counts to 3, and leaves the ring.
Not even a hand raise. No fanfare, no music.
It was all business.
Can you pay me?
And I can't wait to see what he does on May 24th.
Yeah. It's going to be a stomping. A stomping.
Yeah.
I almost feel sorry for whoever we book against him.
Hey, me.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, fans, you are tuned in to SenCal Pro Radio. This is Jimmy Ray from Facebook, and I am live with the founders of SenCal. I got Dom, I got Sledge, and me. We're missing the fourth guy. You know, it turns out the fourth guy, guys, it was JD Horror.
Yeah, it was JD
I know,
Horror.
Right? Who saw that coming? Because I didn't.
I did, but I knew.
Yeah. So
okay. Well, yeah. It goes to show. You guys can tell who the fourth copy is in this multiplicity movie here. It's Jimmy Ray. I get told everything last, but you know how it goes. But fans, we're gonna take a quick commercial break right now. We will be back with more SenCal Pro Radio in just a moment after a quick word from our friend Kevin Dill and the King of Indies tournament going on this week, San Jose.
If you're headed to WrestleMania, you don't want to miss King of Indies. It's going down WrestleMania weekend at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. Information at kingofindies.net and wwnlive.com.
That's right. King of Indies. Tickets are still available. Check it out, people. It's going to be rad. And you're back. This is SenCal Pro Radio. We still got so much more show to do.
Jimmy Ray. Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy,
yeah, I'm here.
I heard you're going to be at King of Indies. I heard you're going to be at King of Indies.
I'm going to be at the King of Indies.
Jimmy,
you know
are you King of Indies? Jimmy, are you going to be at the King of Indies?
I'm going to be at the King of Indies.
Who are you going to be there with, Jimmy? Who are you going to be there
with? Yeah, and I'm going to be there, get this, with Rick Luxury. Where are
really?
You guys going to be?
What did you bribe Rick with to get him to get you in there, Jimmy? What did you bribe him with?
Yeah. You have no idea what lengths he had to go to get me out there. I mean, there's no price Rick Luxury won't pay to get exactly what he wants when he wants it. And, you know, it just goes to show.
Was
he knows talent when he sees a guy.
Did you give him an amiiblo? Isn't that what they're called, amiiblo?
Oh, I can't help but sell that rib. That was good. Ouch.
Speaking of Rick,
you're lucky it's 2-on-1 right now, guys. You're lucky Ray is the odd man out, because if this ever got evened up and there was someone to be on Ray's side here, it'd be, you know, back and forth action, not just fourth and fourth and fourth with no back.
Yeah, and to go to Rick Luxury, whatever, Rick.
He and Robbie Phoenix did tear it down.
He did, man. That was a wrestling thing. Those guys are two bets that when, like I said before, man, we were putting the card together, I had a mindset of guys who I wanted. And you know what? Hats off, one of the best wrestlers in America, if not the best wrestler in America, Rick Luxury, which I'll get to later. And Robbie Phoenix, who's been all around the world. You know, I've wrestled Robbie on a number of my occasions and, you know, tore the house down. I've wrestled Rick, you know. It's one of those things, man, where I knew that we put them together and it was going to be a blockbuster. And you know what? They didn't disappoint in any way, shape, or form. They literally did what they do, and that's wrestle and put on great shows.
And those are two guys who have defined the style of their respective areas. You know, Rick Luxury is heavily, heavily influential in Northern California and how the style of Northern California developed. And Robbie Phoenix, through training at Santino Brothers, is very instrumental in the development of the style in Southern California. So to take the sort of progenitors of those styles almost and to bring them into our ring, it was amazing. I mean, every wrestler in the back should have been watching that match, because there's no way that you could not learn something from it.
Yeah, I was lacing on my boots and I was watching that match. You know, it was amazing. My hat's off to Robbie. Robbie, and you know, I got to say hats off to Rick.
Yeah, I think Rick took the victory on that one. It was real close, but
it was definitely a close one.
Yeah.
So.
The audience didn't seem too happy about that.
It leads us to a painful moment in Sledge's life, I believe.
You know, I don't want to say it's my comeback show, because I've been wrestling for a while, but
it's your homecoming show.
I guess it would say
this is definitely your homecoming show, bro. I think that's a very, very accurate description.
Yeah, and, you know, against Sasha Durefko, Rich, thank you so much for screwing me. I appreciate that, you know, for some transparent reason. But I really hope you come on the radio show and actually explain yourself why you did what you did.
Yeah, well, for those in the audience that didn't make the show or are unfortunate enough to miss the spectacular, Sledge and Sasha Durefko literally beat each other all over the grad. The match spilled out into the audience. I think Sledge threw Sasha into some trash cans.
Yeah.
You know, they literally fought all around the ring. And to make sure that there was going to be no shenanigans like there was in the beginning of the show, Durefko came out with Shoop Shellhammer, but Sledge came out with JD Horror. So they had these guys in their corner to kind of neutralize each other and make sure that nothing bad would happen. Unfortunately, something bad happened.
Yeah. Whose idea was it that they jumped JD Horror and then they handcuffed him?
To a post. And JD Horror had to stand there and watch as Sledge, who's his best friend, you know, was beaten down by three guys, by Rick Luxury, by Sasha Durefko, and by Shoop Shellhammer.
You know, are they a thing?
There's some Canadian-Russian connection there, right? Canada and Russia are close to each other. Isn't that what Sarah Palin talks about all the time?
And America's close to Canada, and according to Sarah Palin, America's close to Russia.
I want one of those three to get on the show and explain themselves, why they did what they did, and what is behind it.
Yeah, obviously it was a coordinated strike. Obviously that was something executed. I know a thing or two about making plans, and that was obviously a plan.
Yeah,
that's
I want to know.
Has returned. It's been a long time.
What's going on? Did you push the wrong button?
But you know, there's no turning back now.
I know.
This is what makes me. This is what I am, Billy.
Well. Did Rick Luxury just do a run-in on a radio show?
Hey, I'm just saying, if you have the money and you can't afford it, you do what you want to.
All right, Rick. since you're here.
Oh.
Hello. Why did you do what you did? Why did you screw me in my homecoming?
You know, Sledge, it had absolutely nothing really to do with you. It was more to prove a point than anything. You see, you have Sasha Derevko, which they say is the greatest wrestler from Mother Russia.
He trains with
a bear. You have the Canadian reflection of perfection, Shoop Shellhammer, representing the North. And then you have the greatest wrestler in America, wrestling personified Rick Luxury. Now, you see, everyone said, Rick, why, if you're from the U.S., would you side with a Russian and a Canadian? That's because I am a true American, and I outport all of my resources. See, Sledge, you just were the head honcho of that show. You were the big name on campus at the grad that night in San Luis Obispo. Your homecoming, those people were there to see Sledge and his creation of Sin Cal Wrestling and his rebirth in the Central California wrestling scene. And what we were out to do is make an example of anybody that eyes were watching that we are the force to be reckoned with in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah, well, you know what, Rick? Why don't you do this? Okay? Why don't you go ahead and call Sasha Derevko from Mother Russia? Why don't you go ahead and get that little skinny, little sweet boy, you know, Shellhammer. Why don't you bring your ass to the grad May 24th and face me and JD in a 3-on-2? How do you like that?
Sledge. Nobody should be asking when they wake up and get out of bed in the morning, please, can I get into a car accident today? That's not a wise decision. But if you want to be that little beat-up car in the middle of a demolition derby getting wrecked on, well, then on May 24th, you can count the Axis of Powers in on your little handicap match.
Well, you know what?
No, I'm not done.
Well,
because I swear at the end of it.
I'm going to call the lawyer real quick just a second just to make sure you can do this.
All right.
I swear at the end of it,
who was lying on the ground? You, Shellhammer,
hey,
and that little sweet boy of yours, Sasha Derevko.
But here's the thing, Sledge. What you fail to see is, so you stood tall to the people at your inaugural homecoming. But the fact of the matter is, in the record books from that day and every day forward, that is a win for Sasha Derevko and a loss for Sledge. That means more money to what I like to call the WMDs, the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction, than there is for the Creep Show's homecoming. Us obtaining a victory over you and over Robbie Phoenix in Sin Cal means that we are worth more money. And with more money becomes more power. And with more power will bring us more gold. So if you want a handicap match,
I do.
You got it.
I want it.
I accept on behalf of Sasha Derevko and Shoop Shellhammer for myself. You and your little painted face buddy, go ahead, bring whatever weapons you want down to the ring. You're going to need them because we are the true WMDs in professional wrestling. We are the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction.
Oh, Rick.
Hey, I just got off the phone with the attorney guys. Apparently, in our corporate structure, there has to be, you know, because Sledge is the president of the company, but also a wrestler, there has to be a second approval from one of the members of the board before Sledge can actually book himself in any match. But I got to say, I want to see this. So I'm going to sign off on this match. And we've got a match for May 24th. It's going to be Rick Luxury, Sasha Derevko, and Shoop Shellhammer versus Sledge and JD Horror. And
not to cut you off there, you don't have a match. You have a main event. Anytime Wrestling Personified, anytime Sasha Derevko, anytime Shoop Shellhammer graces a professional wrestling ring, you have an extravaganza on your hands. You have a main event caliber showcase. You have a true. Hey, for anybody that said Sin Cal, and this is, I'll give you credit where credit is due. For anybody that said Sin Cal Pro Wrestling is an imitation, there is no imitation to the limitations when Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury is on your roster. I legitimize any professional wrestling company here in the state of California, across the 50 states of the United States, in Canada, Mexico, across the pond, or way down in Japan. I legitimize pro wrestling, and Sin Cal Pro Wrestling is a legitimate company. A legitimate company that on May 24th, in the main event, the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction are going to put an end to Sledge and JD Horror, and anybody wants to stand up in the back or stand up in the crowd for them.
I'll have the contracts drawn up tomorrow. We've got ourselves a main event on May 24th.
And on that note,
I really can't wait to punch you right in your mouth.
And
really
on that note, Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury has left the building.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a main event, and it's going to be a war. That's the only way to describe that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hope if Wrestling Personified leaves the building, I hope that doesn't mean I have to leave too. No one validated my parking. And, yeah, I'm kind of in trouble if we all have to, like, leave the building.
Well, how much time we got, JD?
JD?
I mean, Jimmy?
JD?
Sorry.
JD's here? JD Horror, how's it going? Oh, no, see, that was one of those moments in wrestling where we teased that someone was going to be here, and look at that, they didn't show up, you know, card subject to change.
Well, how much time do I got? Wait. Do I got time to make an announcement? How much time do I got?
Dude, we got time. We got time to make announcements. We got all the time we need. Thanks to this primetime spot
right,
here at Blog Talk Radio, Sin Cal Pro was as long as you want.
All right. Well, I mentioned our attorneys. I mentioned our financier. Ooh. Of course, that is the law office of Dennis James Balsamo, a place that I'm particularly fond of because they ensure that not only do we have a wrestling show every 8 weeks, but also that I get to eat on a daily basis. So
he feeds you?
Yeah, well.
He doesn't feed me.
Yeah, Monday. We'll all go out to dinner on Monday. We need to celebrate anyway.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Law Office of Dennis James Balsamo is located at 67 South Street in San Luis Obispo, California. We handle wills. We handle trusts. We handle personal injuries. Basically, we handle everything except for family law, workman's comp, med mal. You need a special attorney for
that. Family law?
Yeah, no, sorry about that. But the slogan there is...
Oh, man. Boy, a day late and a buck short, huh?
The slogan that you got...
I'm trying to plug the sponsor, guys.
Okay. The slogan there...
I got Sledge, ladies and gentlemen.
Here.
That's what it
Jimmy,
takes to shoot down the metalhead maniac. Just a good little joke there.
Go ahead.
The slogan there is big enough to help you, small enough to care. Balsamo, not only is he my father, but he is a pit bull. He is a shark in the courtroom. He represents his clients as zealously as our wrestlers represent Sin Cal Professional Wrestling and all of independent wrestling in the ring. If you need legal services and you're in the San Luis Obispo area or in Santa Barbara County, call 805-546-9000 or visit us at 67 South Street between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Plug ended.
And we want to thank Traditional Tattoo.
Yeah, too. Yeah. They do all of our tattoo work and they sell our tickets.
Thanks, Traditional.
And we want to thank Slow Beverage and More on the corner of South and Higuera Street because they sold a bunch of tickets for us, too. And they are one of the finest liquor stores in San Luis Obispo.
And we want to thank, because they might actually be listening, because they said they were going to check it out. Jeff and Jeremy in the Morning, 93.3 KZOZ, Everything That Rocks. And also Big Dog for helping us up, hooking us up with the radio and so on and so forth. Now can I make my announcement?
Yeah, definitely.
So, choke us off.
And he goes, hey, that's all the time we have. And I'm like, wait, no.
Going through a tunnel. Yeah. It's definitely true, though. When you have any legal issues, better call Balsamo. Dennis Balsamo.
Nice. All right, so check this
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I was waiting all show to use that, guys. I got to admit.
Listen.
Legs are shaking. Listen.
As I was talking, or as, you know, as we were talking, I got a text message, okay? And I got a text message from a very, very good buddy of mine. And and he's a former WWE.
Sort of defined the careers of Matt, Jeff Hardy, Edge and Christian. Wouldn't have been anywhere. Not
also one of the...
Whoa.
You guys
don't mean Kurgan from the Oddities, do you?
Wait, what?
You're lucky you're in Nevada right now.
You said someone from the era around the time of the Hardy Boys. The Oddities were still around back then, right?
I want to punch you so hard.
Okay, it's not Kurgan.
Someone,
okay. Who is it?
Someone who has, I don't want to say credit for Rusev.
Yeah. A lot of people who came out of the Los Angeles area, actually.
Yeah.
Mm.
A very, very good friend of mine, a very, very good, I call him Uncle. On May 24th, live at The Graduate, we have the Vampire Warrior himself, Gangrel.
What? Gangrel is coming to SenCal Pro?
Gangrel, he just signed a contract. He's coming to SenCal Pro.
Oh, wait, I just got it on my email. Yeah, he just scanned it and sent it to me.
Okay.
Wow, former WWE superstar Gangrel joins the SenCal Pro locker room. That is historic.
Yeah.
That's the only way to put it.
The Vampire Warrior himself will be here.
This is a man who has made a lot of other wrestlers in this business.
Oh, absolutely.
I've wrestled him a number of times. I'm going to tell you this right now, dude. That's no cakewalk wrestling that guy.
Yeah.
No way. That's no cakewalk.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's, you know, the impaler, the implant. I mean, he has so many different moves he can drop you with and all lead to heads being crushed into the floor. And, I just can't believe it.
I still mark out. I really do. When he spits the blood, I love it.
I know. It comes out of a ring of fire on the goblet. Like, literally, there could be a ring of fire burning in my lawn, and there's Gangrel coming out of the wand. It's just like,
yeah,
anywhere you see the ring of fire come out, you know, I hope Gangrel's coming out of it. And now the ring of fire is SenCal Pro.
Yeah. We have Gangrel, May 24th, 2015, live at The Graduate. It was just signed, just delivered.
It's
official.
Wow, Gangrel. SenCal's got him, others don't.
Now I want to know who's going to step up. And this is for anybody. If you're listening to this radio show, who's going to step up to face the Vampire Warrior? Because he's coming. He's coming for blood.
And he's looking for someone.
I
don't think he cares who. But we care who, because we want to see him in one of the most competitive matches possible.
That's right. So we want to know who wants to step up and face the Vampire Warrior, Gangrel.
So if any wrestler,
it sounds like
North
this is an offering that will turn into, well, a taking if no one steps up to the plate. Vampires are known to, well, take their victims and drain them of blood, of energy, of life force, and leave them just broken in the ring. And I don't know if anyone's going to really step to this, guys.
Well, we've got an open offer on the table to any wrestler in NorCal or SoCal who thinks that they've got what it takes to beat the Vampire Warrior. Send us your information. Send us your tapes. Let me see what you've got. Let us see what you've got. And if we think that you're going to put on a fantastic match with Gangrel, well, we're going to give you that beating.
And you think that you have a legitimate shot to beat Gangrel, send me your info. I want to know. Send it to me on Facebook.
I don't know if there is a legitimate shot to beat Gangrel. I'm just going to put it out there. This is going to be a very painful slaughtering for whoever steps to this. And I'm just going to say that now because then when it happens, I don't want people going, Jimmy Ray, why didn't you tell me this was going to be a painful slaughtering that I was stepping into? And like, well, you clearly didn't listen to the radio show like 3 weeks ago.
Well, that was a recap and big announcement. And I can't wait to kick Luke Luxury's ass. And all the other guys he has with him. on May 24th.
So we've got three matches set so far for May 24th, and we've just finished our first show. First match we signed was Urban Discipline versus the Perfect Kings. Second match we signed was the main event, Sledge and JD Horror versus, I guess they're called the WMD, the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction.
I thought they were the Axis of Power.
Or are they the Axis of Power? Maybe they're the Axis of Power, the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction.
That's a long name.
That's a long name. Well, it is Rick Luxury.
Yeah, that's true.
And we have Gangrel versus whoever thinks that they have what it takes. Impress us, and we'll give you your shot.
It's going to be a very brave and powerful warrior to step to the vampire warrior.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I second that. I'm going to not do it along with Dom.
Oh, I'll say one more thing. Okay, we also have returning to Sin Cal. I don't want to say like returning to Sin Cal because we've only done one show, but I guess
if they were there the first one, they're coming back, they're returning.
Okay. Yeah, technically everyone's returning at this point. This is one of those really cool like sequel events, you know?
Unless they haven't been there.
Returning, we will have the Pumpkin Queen Sage set.
That's right. Pumpkin Army, if you're listening, the Pumpkin Queen is coming.
That's right. San Luis Obispo fell in love with the Pumpkin Queen over the weekend, and she has been the talk of the town. And I won't be surprised if there is a Halloween parade this year that one Pumpkin Queen doesn't get asked to be the queen of the parade, because I have a feeling there's no one else more fitting for that role. So, City of San Luis Obispo, if you're listening right now, we can get you in touch with the Pumpkin Queen. Just ask.
I gotta eat, Jimmy.
Yeah, I gotta go to the gym.
I don't want.
What?
Whoa,
guys!
Want...
There's like 17 more minutes of radio left. I don't think so. You guys are staying right here. Come on, man.
17 minutes
like
of
a party.
Radio?
You ever been to the party when it's like 3:45 a.m.? Come on, man. It's still rolling, man. There's so much for party to do. I know it's just us three and everyone else is gone, but I mean, come on, man. It's a party, right?
I have to eat. Gallows will beat me.
Yeah. I heard Gallows very concerned with people eating.
Yeah. Yeah, Gallo will come out of basically a time portal and beat you for not eating. That is true. So, you don't want to piss Gallo off. That's...
You know what sounds good is a fatty sub.
Fatty's pizza is very good.
Have you had the subs?
I have. That all meat monstrosity that I have.
Oh, God.
We'll be right there.
All right, guys. You know what? The luxury suite is topping off right now. Apparently, there's some good happenings going down right now. Rick's bought the bar out again.
All right, Jimmy. You go party with those people. You be safe at King of Indies. Tell everyone else there to be safe on our behalf. And get some amiibos. I don't know.
May 24th, live at the Graduates, Sin Cal Pro Wrestling return. And this card, if you thought the last card was good, you're not going to want to miss this card. We got Gangrel. We got Keepers of the Faith. We got
Urban Discipline.
Urban Discipline. We got so much stuff.
The Pumpkin Queen. Sage King.
Power. Wrestlers of Mass Destruction.
We have Gangrel.
We have Gangrel.
Gangrel. We have Gangrel. I don't know if we said that. Do we have Gangrel? We have Gangrel, right?
Yeah. And
yes. Sorry, I'm really happy about that.
Just stay tuned because
so much is in store.
Oh my God!
From the moment that show ended, a snowball started rolling downhill, and what we are doing is getting huge. I can't get into too much detail on it right now because it's corporate secrets. But I'll be damned if 2015 is not going to be the year of Sin Cal Pro.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Do we just get up 17 minutes?
No, there's like 15 and like 30 left. 15 minutes, 30,
yep.
Easily.
I'm already blown.
Yeah, dude, I'm blown, dude. You gotta go.
Dude, you guys are already gassed, man. Dang it.
No, I'm not on the gas. I should be on the gas.
No,
I've got my body.
Maybe you have gas. Maybe that's what it is. You guys eating Hot Pockets? I heard Discord talking about Hot Pockets.
I will after I eat this fatty sub, I will.
Oh, come on. Well, yeah, on that note, kids, stay nutritious. That's all we can say, really.
Yeah.
But,
hey, guess what else is happening soon? April 11th.
What's that?
UEW. We're coming back. Sledge is going to be the championship belt there. Urban Discipline is going to be there. We're going to have a bunch of people that you saw at the Sten Cal show at UEW in East Los Angeles. So look up Urban Underground Underground Empire Wrestling on Facebook and get information on that show if you're in the Los Angeles area, because they put on a killer, killer show.
Yeah, definitely check out UEW. It's going to be a hot one. And actually, they're going to have a guest commentator on the 11th as well. They just announced, too. They somehow managed to get Jimmy Ray from Sten Cal. Yeah, right. But I said, I can't go. But Oracle T Got Buns, he's on it.
That sucks.
Yeah, they should have gotten Succulent Corny Cobb.
He has a jobber.
Yeah, I heard he's busy. He's gonna not be at the King of Indies.
So you saying that you're gonna be doing guest commentary at UEW, Jimmy Ray?
That is true. They announced and sealed the deal today, actually. And Jimmy Ray will be doing guest commentary on the 11th. All four members of Sten Cal will be in attendance as new happy family members of UEW. And it's going to be a show.
I'm not going to be there. But that dude who pretends to be me sometimes, Discord, he's going to be there.
No, Dom, you got to be there too, dude. You and Discord both have to be there.
Actually, I have a restraining order against Discord. We can't be in the same place at the same time.
It's like Discord can only be so far from schools.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I can only be so
far
from Discord.
Oh, right.
So.
Yeah, whole kids and 300 yards thing in school. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Mine got lifted the other day, so we're good.
Oh, God. Well, fans, we want you to check out all of our stuff, of course, but if you don't know where to find us, facebook.com/SenCalPro. You can check us out right here on Blog Talk Radio every week, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. That's right, our prime time spot. We got it. Others don't. And you can check us out. We're on Twitter. Can you be all over Twitter? Is there even a Twitter to be all over? Am I even saying that right?
I don't know. You tell us, Mr. Jimmy Ray from Facebook, now Jimmy Ray of Twitter.
That's right. Yeah, you can follow me, Jimmy Ray, on Twitter, Jimmy at Jimmy Ray from Facebook. That is my Twitter handle.
You're
sick. Yeah.
Well, why are you picking on Twitter like that?
Yeah, I learned from the best. What can I say? Well, fans, for Sten Cal Pro, for Dominic, for Brian, for myself, for Jason, for all the names behind the business. We are doing this for one reason and one reason only, to keep the torch of pro wrestling burning bright on the Central Coast. And we're going to come back next week, do another show, but tickets are going to be available very soon for May 24th. So keep with us online. Check us out at sncalpro.brownpigfortickets.com. There's a lot of places to get ticket information. But if you want more information, you just find us on Facebook. Talk to us. We're people. We like it when people talk to us, and we really like it when they send us sushi.
I love sushi.
You see, that's what I'm talking about, man. We love it when you send us sushi. I this whole show, really, in a nutshell, is about sending us sushi.
I did it all for the sushi.
Come on, the sushi. Yeah, it's about that time. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet again another. What's that?
Play Avenged Sevenfold, Jimmy.
That's right, play Avenged Sevenfold. We're going to go ahead and call it quits tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. You kept it good. You kept it fresh. And we will be back next week, 7 p.m., with our, we'll have a guest, right? Somebody will be on, right, guys?
Yeah, someone.
Yeah,
someone
will be here. And
imitated. I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll have Sledge tell us what it was like to be at WrestleMania, because not everybody could be there.
Wait, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Why don't the fans tell us who they want to hear from?
That's a good idea.
Whoa, you mean if they go to our Facebook page and stuff and demand the next person, we should just have that person on, whoever it is they pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be anybody in the world.
Except for CM Punk.
Yeah. So, fans, I hope you choose, Steve Carell. That'd be fun.
Oh, come on.
I'd like to interview Steve Carell. That'd be cool. So, fans, you get to pick.
Mark.
Well, come on, guys. He's going to get the pick. What if it's Steve Carell?
Figure it out, I guess.
Okay, cool. All right. So fans, vote for Steve Carell. That's all I'm saying. We'll have him on the show.
What a dick.
No, that's not such a bad idea, though. Yeah, definitely tell us if you want to be on the guest next week. And if we get an overwhelming suggestion of who to have, why not put him on, right, guys?
Right.
Cool. Well, for Sledge, for Dominic, for Jimmy Ray, for SenCal Pro, thank you guys so much for tuning in to yet again another fun podcast. I leave you now.
Steve Carell.
Yeah, with Steve Carell. If you're listening, man, we want you. We're leaving you now with one final word from Kevin Gill and the King of Indies tournament taking place this week.
Before you can get to WrestleMania, you gotta go to King of Indies. March 27th and 28th in San Jose, a 16-man tournament to determine the best. Featuring Timothy Thatcher, D-Boy, Brian Cage, Adam Thornstone, Willie Mack, Jody Christopherson, and many more. Plus, Ultimo Dragon vs. Juventud Guerrero. Exclusive signings and photo ops. It's going down at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. KingofIndies.net and WWNLive.com.
What's up, Big Nigga? Yeah, sorry, Mike. That's what I want.